At this time, I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 23. Read first from Proverbs 23, and then I also wanted to look briefly at Ephesians chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 23. We'll read verses 15 through 25, and then just a couple verses from Ephesians chapter 6. Proverbs 23 is on page 692, and Ephesians 6 on page 1245. We're looking at these passages in connection with Lord's Day 39, which is God's will expressed in the fifth commandment to honor those in authority over us. So Proverbs 23, beginning with verse 15, reading through verse 25. Hear now God's holy and infallible word. My son, if your heart is wise, my heart too will be glad. My inmost being will exalt when your lips speak what is right. Let not your heart envy sinners, but continue in the fear of the Lord all the day. Surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Hear, my son, and be wise, and direct your heart in the way. Be not among drunkards or among gluttonous eaters of meat, for the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and slumber will clothe them with rags. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy truth and do not sell it. Buy wisdom, instruction, and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. And we'll end our reading from Proverbs 23 there. And then briefly from Ephesians 6, just the first three verses here from Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. And thus we'll end our reading from God's word this morning. And again, we're reading this in connection with Lord's Day 39. So I invite you also to turn with me to the back of your Blue Psalter hymnal to page 52. Page 52, Lord's Day 39. We have question and answer 104. Question 104 asks us, what is God's will for us in the fifth commandment? Answer, that I honor, love, and be loyal to my father and mother and all those in authority over me, that I obey and submit to them as is proper when they correct and punish me, and also that I be patient with their failings, for through them God chooses to rule us. And thus ends our reading from the Catechism as well this morning. We'll be looking in particular at select portions of Proverbs 23 as well as briefly from Ephesians 6 this morning. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, there are many sins that characterize the day and age in which we live. We easily think, perhaps, of the rank idolatry that goes on all around us as people mindlessly pursue whatever empty pleasures they can get their hands on. Or we think, perhaps, about the sexual immorality of our age and its propagation and approval of our government. We think perhaps also even more of simply the adultery and misuse of God's name. We think of so many different things, don't we, when we think of the sins of our culture, our day, and our age. But one of the big sins that perhaps we so often forget about and think little of is simply the dishonor and disrespect that pervades our culture. Who holds the door open for people anymore? How quickly do we see young people rushing to the aid of the elderly when they're walking about or trying to carry out their tasks in the grocery store or wherever. We're more likely nowadays to hear the young people make fun of the old, to see them pointing the finger at the elderly person trying to get on the bus or struggling to get groceries in their shopping cart. We see people laughing and snickering and joking about how they dress or how they look or how terrible it must be to be old. We rarely ever anymore hear respectful, kind, or appreciative words to those who are older than us. It's a kind of behavior and attitude our own culture has helped to foster. Because in our culture, everything that is young is in, whereas anything that is old is out. Everyone wants to look young. Everyone wants to dress young. Everybody wants the latest toy. Nobody wants last year's phone. Everybody wants the newest computer. Nobody wants the computer that's 5 years old. Nobody wants clothes that were purchased from the store last year, unless you're some people who like to look more eclectic. But generally speaking, there's the fashion of the times. We want to dress that way. We don't want to look like we're following some fashion of bygone years. We easily find 50-year-olds dressing like they're in their 20s. You have moms and dads going out and hitting the bar scenes just like those college kids. Our culture favors the young. The young who can easily pick up an iPhone or a tablet and whiz through it and do whatever they like, while someone perhaps who's in their 40s or 50s or older struggles to point and click. And so the old are left in the dust of the young. Our culture has helped to foster this disrespect and disregard for anything that is not in the category of new or young. But you see, how we treat those who are in authority over us, how we treat those who are older than us, and because they're older, have that authority over us, is very important to God. Because the fifth commandment is tied very strongly to the first commandment. The command to honor, love, and be loyal to all those in authority over me is part and parcel of the command to have no other gods. He is the only God who has absolute authority and power over me, and what he does is to delegate then some of his own authority as God, as Lord, to others. God has ultimate authority over all things, but wonder of wonders, God even grants, he gives some of his authority to be used, to be put into practice, application into our lives by our parents, by our church officers, by our elected officials, that they might rule for him and on his behalf. He grants authority to the state to punish wickedness and preserve justice. He grants authority to ministers, elders, and deacons to be exercised over the church for their benefit. He gives authority to our parents so that they govern the home and make sure it's all carried out and lived out according to his will. And what this means for us is that how we treat others and whether we will dishonor them or honor them speaks volumes about whether or not we would honor God. As Calvin writes, the dishonoring of parents redounds or results in the dishonor of God himself. To dishonor those in authority is to dishonor the living God who has made you and who has saved you. And so this morning, we want to carefully consider this fifth commandment and realize how our weighty God calls us to recognize the weightiness of others. Our weighty God, our heavy God, calls us to recognize the weightiness or the heaviness of others. And there's two things we want to consider then. First of all, that honor is required, and then secondly, that honor is rewarded. Well, in the first case, honor is required. And you might be wondering why I use this language of our weighty God requires us or calls us to recognize the weightiness of others. It's because the word honor, taken from the Hebrew, is actually a word which means exactly that. It means to be weighty. It means to be heavy. It means to be someone who carries a lot of weight. You are called to treat your mothers and your fathers. You are called to treat all those in authority over you as weighty, as heavier than you. That might sound odd, but I'm sure you've heard before someone who said, "You don't treat me with an ounce of respect." See, that's exactly the idea. If you treat someone with respect, you're giving them an ounce of respect. You're recognizing their weight. You're recognizing their authority. You're recognizing that they have this power. They have been entrusted with this power. See, and that's what we're supposed to think about when we interact with those in authority over us. When we look at other people, especially our parents, what are we to see? We're to see people who have weight, those who are carrying, who are bearing the very authority of God. In the words of one commentator, we're to eliminate the person and to see only God who stands behind father and mother. That means, for instance, that our parents are not, first of all, our buddies. They're not our friends. They're not on the same level as us. No, they are our mom and our dad. They have been put above us. They are heavier than we are. They have an authority they're carrying. And so we're called then, according to the fifth commandment, to value people according to the value God has given them. To value people not according to how you want to value them, not in how you think you should value them, but you're to give them the weight that God gives them. That's important for all of us to remember, not just children, but for us as parents and grandparents, aunts and uncles, or grandparents, or elders or deacons. We're all drawn to greatly dislike the boss who abuses his power. But we're also drawn to despise and make fun of the boss that tries to be like one of us. You know, we've all, I'm sure, had experience with those kind of pretenders. They're our boss, but they like to be our buddy. But we despise them because we know they have an authority, and whatever they're trying to do is just fake. And they can easily fire us or discipline us or get rid of us if we go the wrong way. And so it's perhaps no surprise that so many parents are despised and mocked and ridiculed by their own children because they're continually trying to be their friend. They're trying to be their buddy. They're trying to deny the weightiness God has given and just be on the same level as a child. And God says, you can't do that. When you forget your office, when you forget the weight God has given you, then you're only inviting trouble and you're actually encouraging your own children to break this fifth commandment. But at the same time, this is never an excuse for us as children. It's never an excuse for us, no matter where we might be, because we're called to honor those in authority regardless, even being patient with their failings. Our catechism makes that very clear, that we are to be patient with their failings, simply because you might have parents who don't act like a mom and dad. Simply because you may not agree with an elder or minister or deacon doesn't give you the freedom to disrespect or dishonor them. Doesn't give you the freedom to treat them like a child or a buffoon. If you take a look at scriptures, God is very clear that even the sins of those in authority over you do not legitimize your disrespect or your dishonor. If you look at the very first book of the Bible, Genesis, you see in chapter 9, Noah getting drunk after the flood, and he passes out naked in the middle of his tent. His son Ham happens to find his father like this, but rather than respectfully covering him up or keeping it secret, he goes to his brother and he gossips about their father. He exposes the shame of their father. He makes jokes about the nakedness of his father. And his two sons then realize the error that Ham was committing, the sin Ham was committing, and they respectfully cover their father up, seeking not to look at him. And what ends up happening then is Noah curses Ham. He curses the son who, even in the midst of his father's sin, despises him, mocks him, ridicules him, and exposes the shame. See, despite Noah's failings and shortcomings, the requirement of showing honor and weightiness isn't lost. Proverbs 23 also makes this very clear to us in verse 22. If you look at verse 22 with me in Proverbs 23, listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. One of the things the Bible recognizes is that our parents aren't going to be youthful and strong forever. We quickly, perhaps, when we get to be young adults in our 20s, we may find ourselves, perhaps, to be stronger than our fathers. Maybe stronger than our mothers. We realize sooner or later that our parents aren't exactly this physical imposing presence any longer in our life, and we're drawn then to despise them. Or it could be that we get to be ourselves in our 50s and 60s, and our parents are in their 70s or 80s or 90s, and we come to see that they are feeble. We come to see their minds grow weak, their memories fade away. Their limbs aren't able to sustain them anymore. We go to the home and we find them being wheeled around in a wheelchair. We see them being cared for by nurses, bathed, and helped to the washroom. And the Lord is saying in Proverbs 23 that even when your mother and your father are old, even when you see them wasting away, even when you come to realize that you are so much stronger than them and so much sharper than them, still you are never relieved of the responsibility to treat them with respect. You're never to joke about your parents. You're never to make fun of their weakness. You're never to laugh at their feebleness. But no, you are to respect them and hold them honorable in your eyes, to lift them up, to honor them always, regardless, even of their moral failings or their physical ill health. But perhaps what is especially at the heart of this requirement to honor those in authority over us is that we acknowledge the weightiness God has given them by obeying them, by submitting to them. As the Catechism says, we are to be loyal to all those in authority over me, that I obey and submit to them as is proper when they correct and punish me. We are to do what they tell us to do. We are to submit to their judgment when they say something is not allowed or bad for us. We often forget that God doesn't command us to honor our parents or elders so long as we agree with them. There are no footnotes. There's no little number one sticking up there at the end of honor your father and mother saying, look at the bottom of the page. And at the bottom of the page, God says, well, just so long as you agree with what they say. Well, just so long as you are happy with how they parent you. God doesn't say, well, okay, you don't have to listen to the elders if you think they're wrong. No, you're to respect them, you are to obey them, unless you can prove very clearly that they are denying the teaching of the Scripture. You are to obey your parents, you're to obey those in authority over you. See, we're very quick to cry foul, aren't we? Very quick to roll our eyes, to huff, to sigh, to complain, to drag our feet, to yell and scream that it's all not fair. But again, God is asking us, telling us, to look at our parents, to look at our elders, to look at those in authority over us and see Him. To see Him. To see Him talking to us. To see Him reaching out to us. To see Him saying no. To seeing Him saying that is not very good for you. To see Him saying this is what you need to do. To see Him coming alongside of us to shepherd us, to guide us, to keep us in the way of truth. So God promises that if we disobey Him, He will discipline us. If we disobey those in authority over us, Paul will even warn us when he speaks of the government, that the government will come after you and they will discipline you. If you forget about the weightiness of others, if you forget about the weightiness of those in authority over you, you will feel the pain. You will experience the sorrow. You will know the foolishness of your actions. What's interesting then to consider as we think of the honor that's required and what that means for us as parents and as children, it's interesting to see that parents receive special attention in the Bible. When it speaks of giving respect to those in authority over us, the Bible often points directly at the home. You see that in Deuteronomy, you see that in Exodus, you see that in Ephesians 6. Why do parents receive such a special emphasis in the Bible? Why is honor and respect for those in authority often brought around to the home, to the family? I believe the answer is because honoring others is a lesson that's learned first in the home. As one commentator has written, only father and mother are mentioned because the family is the cell from which grow all other relationships to authority. In other words, the home is where children first learn how to obey the fifth commandment. And this has serious implications for us then as parents. Where do our children learn to dishonor people? Surely they are born sinners, but they also learn how to sin too, don't they? And they learn it from you, mom and dad. When they see how you relate to each other in daily life. If you, dad, disrespect your wife, when you don't love her and demonstrate your love for her and run roughshod over her over and over and over again, you are teaching your children to disrespect their own mother. And if you, mom, are always bickering and fighting your husband and seeking to reign over him and tell him what to do and how to think and how to act and how to live, continuing fighting him and undermining his authority, you are teaching your children, you're preparing your children when they get older to respond exactly the same way. In many respects, you reap what you sow. Your children's teenage years are the product of their youth in your home as they witness and see how you relate to each other. They also see when you're yelling at the TV for the referee being so stupid. They hear you complain when you are talking about the church or talking about a decision of the elders. They hear what you're saying and they learn that, well, those people in the church, I don't need to listen to them. They're a bunch of dummies and they don't know what to do. They pick it up. They understand. They see when you're muttering about the guy driving ahead of you on the road. They hear it when you talk about other people. You leave the home, you leave this other person's house, and you begin to talk as husband and wife about all the silly things they do, how much you don't agree with, and they're taught to disrespect anybody who thinks differently or acts differently than they do. You see, our homes are the training ground for respect, honor, loyalty, love, and submission. It is even our children's relationship with us as parents that can have a direct bearing on their relationship with God. If your children are never taught to honor you, if they're never taught to submit to you, if they're never taught to love you and others, they will never learn to submit to God. If they cannot honor and respect the parent standing right in front of them whom they can see with their own eyes, they will never respect the God whom they cannot see. They will never live for the God who they cannot speak to face to face. See, God not only speaks to our children here by requiring them to honor you, He's also speaking to you who are an authority over others. And He's telling us that this is exactly what we have to be at work to foster. This is what we have to be at work to encourage in all relationships with the youth, that we encourage our youth, regardless of who it is in church, to respect them, to shake their hand, to look in their eye, to answer them when they are spoken to. Not to joke with everybody, not to make fun of the elderly, not to ignore those who are older than them, but to help them, to see how they can come to their aid in any way, in any shape, in any form. Very scriptures are very clear that we need to give honor and weight to those whom God has placed in authority over us, because we certainly will reap what we sow. And that's the thing we see, secondly, as we look at these teachings of scriptures regarding the fifth commandment, as we see that God also rewards us for how we respond to this fifth commandment. We often look at it positively, first of all, and we'll do that here as well. You look at how the Lord holds out a promise. You see that in Deuteronomy and Exodus 20, that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You see that repeated in Ephesians 6. Paul writes, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth." There is, again, a special interest at work here for children, for young people, for those who are in the church. There's a special interest here in obeying this commandment because there are rewards, so God says. Paul writes to the church and he says to the children, honor your father and mother so it may go well with you. In the New Testament, it's repeated, to the command to honor your father and mother, because it's right, because you're in the Lord, you're counted a part of his people. But even more, this is the way to blessing. The Lord is very concerned, children, with how you treat mom and dad, how you talk to them, how you respond to them. And he says, listen to them, because you will be blessed. You will be led in the way of righteousness. You will be led in the way of holiness. See, there's a very practical side to this commandment. For instance, if you listen to your parents, you will very likely be blessed, because your parents, our parents, have years of experience behind them. They once were where you are. You may have a hard time believing it, but your parents once, children, were sitting in church and had to be pinched by mom and dad, or be elbowed by mom and dad, or woken up by mom and dad. Your mom and dad used to have to be dragged out of bed Sunday mornings to get ready for church. They used to get spankings. They used to get lectures. They were told by their parents what to do, when to do it, how to do it. Your parents have been through the same struggles that you have. They have faced the same temptations that you have been and are facing. And so the reality is that by obeying and honoring your parents, you are benefiting from their experience. You are learning from their mistakes. You are learning their lessons without making the same problems. You're benefiting from their experience, and you are thereby being led on that narrow path. You see, your parents more easily see the dangers. They know where the ditches are. They know where the quicksand is. They're able to help you navigate around all these things and through all these things, so that when you get to be the age where they are, perhaps you are a better man than they were, that you are a better woman than they were. You see, it's when we don't listen that we're most likely to make those foolish choices, to get sucked in by sin, to engage in behavior that may very well put our lives or our salvation in jeopardy. It's the same thing. It's precisely the same thing, even for the respect that God calls us to give to ministers, elders, and deacons in the church. They have been ordained and installed because they've been chosen by God. You may cast a vote, but they've been chosen by God to lead. And if you follow the biblical requirements for office, these are men who possess certain strengths and graces which make them godly leaders, which make them godly examples to follow, that makes them men who are skilled in God's word, able themselves to navigate the church through trying times, through difficult circumstances, to do what is right and to lead you and your family in that path of right. It is foolish to dishonor and disobey such authority figures, exactly because God has chosen to rule us through them and equips them for that very task. So the book of Proverbs is very good at pointing out the kind of reward which awaits those who honor their father and mother and those in authority and those who don't. Proverbs 9 contrasts wisdom and foolishness, saying, forsake the foolish and live. If you turn away from foolishness, if you listen to mom and dad, you will live and go in the way of understanding. Those who turn to folly, however, do not know that the dead are there, that folly's guests are in the depths of hell. Proverbs 11:14, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Chapter 4, verse 10, hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. Listen to mom and dad, and you will have a prosperous, long, and healthy life. In chapter 23, we read it as well. Hear, my son, and be wise, and direct your heart in the way. Be not among drunkards or among gluttonous eaters of meat, for the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and slumber will clothe them with rags. There's some godly encouragement for you parents to kick your kids out of bed. Slumber will bring them to rags. Drunkards and gluttons will come to poverty. Listen to your father who gave you life. Do not despise your mother when she is old. You see, the book of Proverbs, a book of wisdom, is all about showing us just how foolish we are when we cease listening to other people, when we cease honoring other people, when we disobey mom and dad, and showing us that generally speaking, if we listen, if we obey, if we hear, if we follow, we will have life, we will have prosperity, we will have safety, we will have blessing. God is very clear that there is life in the pathway to the commandments. That doesn't mean we earn life. That doesn't mean that we merit anything in God's eyes, but he is pleased to bless righteousness. He is pleased to bless holiness. There's an interesting thing here too, though, as we think of these rewards that God would give his people. You may not have noticed it when we read Ephesians 6, but Paul actually changes what was written in Deuteronomy 5 and Exodus 20. He changes it to say instead that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Why the change? Why does Paul give us this change regarding the reward that the Lord holds out to those who obey their parents and those in authority over them? Well, it has to do, first of all, with the fact that Christ has fulfilled the law. See, in a way, Paul shows us that what Christ fulfilling of the law now means is that we obey God in this life in thankfulness for all that we've received, and we don't have to earn that life. We don't have to earn the earth. No, we're given it in Jesus Christ. Christ has come, and so the promise has changed. We're not looking at the land of Israel, not looking at the land of Canaan, but no, in Christ we're looking at the earth. Christ comes, and through faith in him, we're going to be going into the land of eternal life. And understanding what Christ has done, understanding what he's given us, then leads us to go back to these laws and to show our great gratitude for God to God for this salvation. See, this fifth commandment is pressed on our children, pressed upon the church to show us that this is the way we obey the gospel, live out of the gospel. And it's an obedience that flows out of and knows the gospel, the life and the peace and the rest that God gives in Jesus Christ. Christ is the one who walked this same pathway. He's the one who showed honor and love and obedience to those in authority. He's the one who then earned future earth, future inheritance. You can see this aspect of Christ's life very early in Luke 2. He's in Jerusalem. His parents leave without him. After a few days, they realize Jesus is missing and they run back to try to find him. After three days go by, they finally find their son. Find him in the temple area speaking with the scholars. And they rebuke him. That's what they're doing. They rebuke him. Why have you done this to us? We've been anxiously searching for you. And Jesus says, why were you seeking me? Didn't you know I'd be in my Father's house? But immediately after this, we're told that Jesus went down with them and came to Nazareth. And he was subject to them. Jesus knew his mission. He knew why he had come. He was looking to be acquainted with the Word of God. He was delighting to be there in the temple to study God's Word more and more. But his parents say, no, it's time for you to come home. And Jesus submits to them. He lives with them, stays with his family. All the while living under their authority. You see that even at the end of his life, not just the beginning, but end, Jesus hangs on the cross as the oldest son of Mary. And he sees his mother there. And what does he do? He makes sure his mother will be taken care of. He entrusts Mary to the apostle John. He's not going to be able to take care of her anymore. And he says, well, now, John, you take care of my mother. She will be your mother. You will be her son. She will come into your house. You will care for her. Christ continued to respect and honor and submit to those who are in authority over him. You see that too when he stands before Pilate and Caiaphas, these men who are accusing him unjustly, these men who are condemning him unjustly. And Jesus knows their sin. He knows their evil. He knows their wickedness. He even knew his parents' sin. And what did Jesus do? He continued to obey. He continued to submit. He continued to honor and say, yes, Mom, yes, Dad. I will do what you say. See, Christ has walked this pathway. He has earned life. He has merited life. And now Paul is saying, you don't earn life. Christ has given you life. Now obey this. Obey in the Lord. Submit in the Lord. And you will have a life, a good life in this earth as you are led in the way of safety and peace. But Christ is giving you something even greater, something even more. Live out of the reality of what Jesus has done. Live out of the reality of what Jesus has accomplished. See, all the good things we want, all the happiness we will ever need is found in Jesus. And we remember that. We're to remember that when we look at our mother and father. We're to remember that when we look at those who are in authority over us. Especially to remember it when perhaps they're unfair or mean toward us. Jesus walked this pathway, even though there were many who were mean to him and abused their authority. Jesus continued to love and to obey. Because Jesus loved and obeyed, he's telling us to love and obey. Because Jesus loved and died for us, he's calling us to honor, love, and be loyal to those in authority over us. He's saying, this is the way that I have lived. This is the way that I have committed myself to live when I took on flesh, to save you, to deliver you, to give you this great reward of entering into life eternal. Now, in thankfulness for what you've received, continue to obey your parents. Continue to honor them, respect them, to obey them, and trust that God has that for you through me. That God will give you every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, even as we read in Ephesians 6 or Ephesians 1. That there is blessing in being faithful to God's commands. That there is blessing in seeing his wisdom for living in this world and following it. That doesn't compromise the gospel, but it makes the gospel all the more beautiful. That God is willing to reward us. That God is willing to look upon our life and see how we would obey what he says. God smiles at that. God is pleased with that. God delights to bless that kind of life, that kind of attitude which seeks his glory and his will. And so it's for us to give then the weight, the honor, the heaviness to those who are in authority over us, to see God behind them, to see God in them ruling us, and to understand that God is seeking to lead us to the place of blessing, to the place of prosperity, to the place of joy and peace and life eternal. That's why we're called to love and be loyal to all those in authority over us, to be submissive when they correct and punish us, to be patient with their failings, because through them God is leading us to life. And so we're to give thanks to God for those he gives to be in authority over us, to give thanks to him, because this is the way that we may not only honor God, but may come to enjoy the life that he is pleased to give us in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's now pray together. O Lord, our great God and Father, we again draw near to you in prayer, and we give you thanks for your word. We give you thanks for your marvelous word of truth and the wisdom that you declare on the pages of Scripture. Father, we thank you for those you give to be an authority over us and for the benefit and the blessing that they are, for how they are used by you, O Lord, to keep us in the way of life and in the way of righteousness and holiness. Father, we pray then that you would forgive us for the disrespect we so often give toward others. Pray, Father, that you would forgive us for how we so easily dishonor and reject and mock and ridicule. Father, that is not to be, because Christ has saved us for something more. Christ has saved us that we might begin to walk worthy of the calling which we've received, that we might follow him who has walked this pathway himself of obedience and honoring and submitting to those in authority over him. So, Father, we pray for the work of your Holy Spirit in our hearts and our lives. Father, help us, strengthen us, empower us. May we see you, Father, behind those who rule over us. And may we hear your voice speaking to us, warning us, guiding us, and leading us. And so, Father, may we live that way through faith in Jesus Christ, knowing, O Lord our God, the wondrous blessing you have for us in Jesus Christ, and the wonderful truth that you will reward us as well for the faithfulness we commit while in this life and in this body. O Lord our God and Father, we give you the glory and the praise. Help us then, Father, by the working of your Holy Spirit. Be with us in this day and the remainder of this week. Continue to transform us after the image of Jesus Christ, to whom be glory both now and forevermore. Amen.